The Toby Gribbin Show. Highlights.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Romeo Challenger is a musician who's been the drummer for the rock band Show Waddy Waddy since 1973. And he's on the line with us here just now. Good afternoon, sir.
How do you do? Good afternoon to you.
I'm very well, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Just looking out the window and I see a bit of sunshine coming out, but it's quite damp at the moment.
Yes, I don't think the sun's here for very much longer, unfortunately. No. So does it bring back loads of memories for you when you listen back to all your hits?
Yeah, to a point where I can even remember recording them, sitting down and discussing how we're going to play the thing, and just generally getting things together. I mean, when I hear "Hey Rock and Roll," which was our first hit, you know, it takes me back to actually getting down around the drums and sort of working out what I'm going to play. So it's just great memories, actually.
And Shawaddy Waddy spent 209 weeks on the UK singles chart and had 10 top 10 singles, including a number one. What was it like to have all that success?
It's a great feeling because, I mean, we didn't get into the business to actually have hits and all that. All we wanted to do was just to work, get on stage and entertain people. Mm-hmm. So having all those hits is like the icing on the cake. And the fact that we weren't actually pursuing that side of it was even better because it was just fantastic. We loved it. A lot of people we knew and all that, you know, was, you know, coming up and saying how good this is, you know, school mates and everything. So, yeah, it was very, very good. The thing is, you know, we enjoyed it. And it was just great to sort of be in that position.
Yeah.
Especially, as I said before, you know, it wasn't something we pursued at all.
Yeah. Do you think the fact that you didn't pursue it kind of helped you in a way? Because maybe after you had one hit, you perhaps weren't expecting another, so you maybe didn't let yourself get carried away.
Yeah, correct. I mean, the thing is that at the time, we were talking, I can't remember who said it, but somebody from a record company or something like that. So generally, bands like us who were sort of moved into sort of the pop side of things generally only had about 3 or 4 hits and then your career is over. I mean, it's ridiculous because now, I mean, next year we're going to be together. Shawaddy Waddy's going to be as a force for 50 years.
Yeah. Has all that time gone by in a blink?
It has. It really has. I mean, I just look around and I just think, my God, when you actually say the word 50 years, half a century, and you know, it's just unbelievable. I really can't believe it. To me, it's just yesterday to me that we were doing like stuff at Top of the Pops, Under the Moon of Love and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, the time has just flown by.
And am I right in saying you actually had the most appearances on Top of the Pops than any other artist?
I think so. Possibly Shakin' Stevens might have done one or two more, I think. But we were certainly up in the top three.
Certainly up there. And it's amazing because in the 70s, there were all sorts of new genres coming out, like disco and punk and new wave, but you managed to fight them off and get to the chart still.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, if you just look back and you think, what, when we had our first hit, 74, you've got the likes of Led Zeppelin, Genesis, Yes, yeah. All the progressive bands and all that were doing all that stuff, really, really great musicians and all that. And on the back of that came the likes of ourselves and Sweet and Mud and all those sort of bands who kind of changed it slightly, because I think a lot of the music that was being put out to the public was probably a bit too serious. And you know, that for me, the whole point of being in the music business was to make people happy and enjoy themselves and all that. I mean I do understand there's another side where people can start to think about music and ponder about the lyrics and all the rest of it, but that was never our intention at all. We wanted people to dance, to be happy, get away from their mundane life and put themselves in an altered state and enjoy.
Now, your biggest hit, your number one hit, Under the Moon of Love, why do you think that's so synonymous with you? Because it is a cover, but I think most people know your version more than the original.
Yeah, I think, it's a great song for a start. Yeah. If you remember, Paul McCartney wrote a song about silly love songs and all the rest of it. I think it's one of these songs that hits the public straight away. It is a love song. Yeah. And I think the way it was presented on TV as well sticks in the memory of a lot of people, as yeah. well as selling a million copies.
Yeah. Now, how did you actually start playing drums yourself?
I started playing drum kit in 1962. That's going back. That what you would call the olden days.
Yeah,
literally. I'd always had music at home. My mum was a great pianist. My family, they were all into music. I listened to a lot of music. Even by up until the age of 12, I was just listening to stuff, and I found that I could actually keep time with some of the records. But I just loved to see all the bands and all the rest of them on TV, and I tried to copy them. I eventually bought a drum kit and started playing around with that. And I just found I could do, three-way coordination, which is right hand, left hand and right foot, playing a rhythm there. Mm. And it just went on from there. I had lessons, learned to read music and all the rest of it, and turned professional at the age of 19.
Uh-huh. And this drum kit that you bought was £12, I believe.
That's it,
which
right. Yes, it
was a lot
yes.
of money in 1962. It's about 10 times that now. So where did you get the money?
Well, I had to do a morning paper round and an evening paper round to do it. It took me a long time, but I was determined to do this on my own, because it was, it's an expensive item as well. And, yeah. We weren't flush with money at all. And, it's like anything, I wanted to work for it anyway.
And it was a good investment.
Well, I think so.
Yeah. So you turned professional at 19. What was your first professional thing?
My first professional gig was Bridlington Spa Ballroom.
Ooh.
It was in the days of when you got the hippies sitting down cross-legged, holding joysticks in their hands and all that. It was very progressive and hippie time, 69,
Yeah.
I think a year, or then the year later, which is, I think, something that I've never achieved since, and it is one of the pinnacle of me being a musician, was that we played the Isle of Wight Festival in 1970,
yeah.
which was a fantastic experience for me. I saw all the bands that I was into, bands like Free and so many other bands,
yeah.
and it was brilliant. I just loved playing the Isle of Wight Festival, remembering that was Jimi Hendrix's last British performance, I believe, before he died. I was in a band called Black Widow,
yeah,
and we did the Thursday, which was like a shop window for all the other bands, up and coming bands at the time. And you know, and the Isle of Wight Festival was going to end with Jimi Hendrix, you know, headlining the whole thing. And you know, and of course, unfortunately, a couple of days later, I think it came into the news that he died. Yeah. You know, so yeah, the Isle of Wight Festival was fantastic.
That must have been quite a shock.
Well, yes, because I was massive. I was massively into Jimi Hendrix experience. You know, when I first saw them on Top of the Pops once again, you know, I just couldn't believe it. It actually blew my mind. Just seeing this fantastic band. And I think it was a song was Hey Joe. It was. And I just, I went out and bought the album straight away. And I've been a fan since, and I still am. Of Jimi Hendrix.
And how did you actually get involved with this band called Shawadi Wadi?
The band I played at the Isle of Wight Festival, a band called Black Widow, I did three albums with them up until 1973. The band folded due to, you know, probably infighting in the band, lack of success, you know, the general thing.
Yeah.
And this band I was in, Black Widow, they were sort of, we call it a progressive rock band at the time.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know, we were playing music in not 4/4, but 7/8 and 5/8 and 9/4, all the different time signatures you can think of, you know, which was good. But, you know, for us, it wasn't reaching anybody. So anyway, the band folded and I came back to live in Leicester. So while living there, I have my local newspaper, the Leicester Mercury, which is an evening paper. I thumbed through that and I looked through the musicians wanted side of it. And it said they wanted, you know, there was a band called Choice looking for a drummer. So I applied for the audition, got the job, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Shawadi Wadi is a really unusual name, isn't it? Where did that come from?
Well, Shawadi Wadi came from the backing vocals of doo-wop songs. Yeah. You know, you'd hear bap bap shuwari wari bap shuwari. That was as simple as that.
And there's a distinctive look that you've always had as a band as well. Whose idea was that?
What it was, Shuwari Wari, we were playing, well, Shuwari Wari was two bands, actually.
Yeah.
A band called Choice, which I was in, and that was four of us. And there's another, the other band was called the Golden Hammers. So it was like an amalgamation of musicians. We all decided on playing 50s, late 50s music, doo-wop and all of it. But we looked and we wanted to have a British identity because the Americans never had Teddy Boys. Mm. They had their college look, their college university, and you know, which in England we never had. We had the sort of Edwardian velvet collared long drape thing. So we went for that. But then somebody says, well, look, if you're going to look do that, why don't we all have different colours and all the rest of it for it to sort of be more of a stage presentation?
Mm.
And basically that's how the image evolved. You know, it was just a remark by somebody, and somebody said, "Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, you wear pink, I wear red. You wear the green and blue and mauve and all the rest of it." So yeah, that's basically what happened.
Yeah. So do you think both those outfits and the unusual name of Shuwari Wari helped your success in a way, because people might find it different?
Well, that was part of it. That was part of it. But I mean, like, yeah, the fact that we actually went on stage and did a show. I mean, you're going to remember the time when we were doing it, everybody was sort of trying to be progressive and musical and do all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
So it was mind-blowing to see a band coming out and playing like that.
Yeah.
And remember, it was an 8-piece as well, so we were doing sort of dance routines while we were doing the songs, so it was drastically different from like Genesis and all the other bands.
Mm.
Drastically different. So anybody who wasn't particularly interested in, you know, Genesis and the progressive side of it, we probably, you know, captured them and you know, captured their imagination and said, well, you know, this is realistic to us and maybe we should follow this band.
No wonder you kept getting bookings on Top of the Pops if you were doing all dancing stuff.
Oh yeah, it was. I mean, the thing is, we'd work on a song, you know, to work out the length of it and the arrangement and all that.
Yeah.
But the dance routine as well was something that we all had to work on as well. So not only were we actually working on the songs itself, we would find a way how to make a dancing routine attached to it.
As an 8-piece, was it ever hard to organise a time when you were all free, or did it actually end up working most of the time?
No, it wasn't. No, the weird thing about Shuwari Wari, we're one of these weird groups where punctuality was something that, you know, we could rely on. You know, it wasn't difficult to get the band together at all. When we were needed, we were all there. Not a problem.
Yeah. And what do you think the secret to Shuwari Wari's everlasting appeal is?
In the 70s, I mean, as I say, we'll go back from the 70s, and our appeal was that we weren't trying to be clever with the music or anything like that. It was just middle-of-the-road stuff. Entertainment. And you know, it is difficult for me to say why and how. We ever did was just stick to what we wanted to do, what worked for us. And throughout the 40, 49, next year, 50 years, it continues. We don't change. We're not particularly affected by other bands or other genres out there. We do what we do. It's Shuwari Wari stuff down the line, you know. Take it or leave it.
And how many gigs are you doing a year at the moment?
Actually, I haven't counted, but it's quite a lot.
I heard somebody say once that you broke a world record for doing 300 in a year. Is that right?
Well, I believe so. I've heard that, but I mean, I don't think we did it a lot. I mean, it must have been just that one year. But we have been very, very busy over the years.
And how does touring and performing today compare to how it was all those years ago? I mean, the audience has maybe changed. They've got a bit older, maybe bringing some younger people. But in terms of maybe the music you do and the atmosphere, is that different?
Yes and no. The thing is, what's happened is the Shuwari Wari fans have obviously got older, but we've noticed younger people coming to the gigs, which I presume they're they've probably heard our stuff being played by their parents,
yeah.
And you know, listen to it and come along and just see and hear what it was all about. Because I mean, we've had a lot of people say, "Oh yeah, we didn't really know what to expect from Shawadi Wadi," but as children, our parents played a lot of stuff, and so we've come along to see, you know, what it was all about.
Yeah. And what are the songs that you know when you perform them, the audience are going to go crazy?
Well, all of them. You know, I mean, we've had, I think, 23, 24 hits together. And, I'm obviously, like, songs like, you know, You Got What It Takes, Hey Rock and Roll, Under the Moon of Love. Yeah, they're the ones. But it's difficult. They all the songs, all of them, get massive reaction from the crowd. Yeah. So, you know, I can only think that, you know, all the stuff we do is sort of appreciated by the audience.
Do you have a personal favourite?
Yes, You Got What It Takes.
Why that one?
It's just a great song. It's a song written by Berry Gordy, who was the founder of Tamla Motown. And to me, it's like early R&B rhythm and music. So, yeah, I just love the song anyway.
And what's your secret? Because you're still performing after nearly 50 years with Shawadi Wadi, and then in general, even more than that. So why do you still love it so much?
It's just me. I can't imagine doing them. I've never, well, having said, I'm going to say I've never done anything else. I have done anything. So when I left school, I was an engineer's apprentice. But, you know, I can't imagine ever doing anything else. It's something that I always wanted to do. And I'm just so lucky and blessed that I'm in the position to do it, you know, health-wise and everything else, you know.
Yeah.
It's just me. I just love doing it.
Yeah. And what's your best memory of your time with the band so far?
Too many to say. I mean, I do remember when we had our first number one. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
When that went to number one, that was because I always, you know, I thought, well, we got into the music business and we started selling records, which we didn't want, you know, which we didn't pursue. But to have a number one was incredible once again. So I do remember, you know, when we got phoned, I got phoned up by the management and say, oh, you're number one now. And that was just a fantastic and brilliant feeling.
Now, you're doing shows all the time, of course, and I've got a few dates here. You're going to be in Dunfermline on the 7th of October, brand new city, Dunfermline. Then Greenock, Morecambe, St Helens, Skegness, Middleton, Yarm, Bolton, Bromley, Guildford, Froome, Malvern, St Albans, Grimsby, Crawley, Holmfirth, Warrington, Sturminster in Dorset. And that's just some of them for the rest of the year. And then next year you're doing even more. So you're going to be very busy.
Yeah, because, well, next year will be the 50th year anniversary. So we'll be doing, you know, special gigs and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And what else is coming up for you? Anything? Or do you just do shows and stuff at the moment?
Just do shows. Just shows, yeah.
Excellent. Well, where can we keep up to date with you and find out all the news about Shawadi Wadi that we need to know?
Well just go to shawadiwadi.net and you'll find all the information there.
Excellent. Well, many thanks for joining us today. It's been great to talk to you.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author Elizabeth Gilbert about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.